Hello, everyone. Thank you again for listening as we continue remote worship. We praise the Lord that in the continuing struggle with COVID-19, that through the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ is with us. We praise the Lord for the continuing sustaining power of the Holy Spirit, providing us with peace and power to not only survive these troubling days, but we live with a hope and assurance the world cannot understand. Let us pray. Gracious and loving Lord, thank you for your abiding presence and strength through the Holy Spirit. Thank you that though your people cannot gather, we are still your people. We are still the church. We know that you know every need and concern of all, and we pray your healing touch upon each. We further pray that this service is pleasing to your sight and to your hearing. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. Sally will now play a song of praise declaring the joy of the presence and work of Jesus in the world. Our scripture lesson is John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Here we are again, worshiping remotely. We're doing so in an attempt to be responsible during the COVID-19 situation. Various opinions are being expressed all over the news and social media. Some are being expressed intelligently, while others, but through this entire ordeal, I've noticed some people are just plain scared to death. Some get almost violent with those they disagree with. And then others, regardless of which side they subscribe to, that this thing is completely overblown or we need to take every precaution, even to the extreme, seem to be weathering this storm with calm and peace. What is the difference? I will contend that it depends on where and to whom we're looking for our hope. If you're looking to medicine, which doctor or which so-called expert do you believe? Which is more crucial? Medical precautions or opening up the economy? Which is more important, medical precautions or freedom of choice? Depending on the position a person or groups hold, they tend to harbor an aggravation at best and disdain at worst for the other opinion, to the point of potential violence. I'm not going to be hypocritical. I have my opinions. But I feel led to propose to you that regardless of your personal opinion about the COVID-19 debate or any of the ongoing issues we face as a nation, we Christians can deal with all of life with an assurance and a peace and a calm that the non-believer cannot comprehend. That source is the Holy Spirit. Today is Pentecost Sunday, sometimes referred to as the birthday of the church, based on Acts 2, when the gathered community of believers is praying and the initial pouring out of the Holy Spirit comes. There are powerful occurrences that catch the attention of the crowds. The apostles speak in languages they had not learned, and Peter preaches his first recorded sermon. The coming of the Holy Spirit is so powerful that 3,000 people come to believe in Jesus that day. On Pentecost Sunday, we celebrate the birth of the church and the mighty working of the Holy Spirit. But there is another aspect of the Holy Spirit that can be easily overlooked, and that is the abiding presence in the believer's life. Here again, the scripture lesson. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. The feast, or the festival, during which Jesus' declaration takes place is the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths. The point of the festival is to remind the people of God's care and provision during the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. A major component of the festival centered around the Pool of Siloam. The Pool of Siloam was built during Hezekiah's reign. Around 705 to 701 BC, Jerusalem knew that Assyria was getting ready to attack and possibly besiege the city of Jerusalem. Now, if a city is under siege, because a city in the biblical times, Jerusalem, had walls around it for protection, but if that city was under siege, those walls also kept you trapped inside, as well as keeping those from the outside from coming in. If a city was under siege, what the opposing army tried to do so many times was surround the city, keep the people from being able to get out, and then starve them to death, them thirst to death, and then when they were too weak to fight, come in and finish the job of conquering the city. So needless to say, the water supply was crucial. Wells run dry. Cisterns that collect rainfall are unreliable, as rainfall is unreliable. Now, there was a spring outside of the walls of the city. So before this siege took place, before this attack took place, Hezekiah had an aqueduct, tunnel, and pool constructed so that the water from this spring constantly flowed into the city, keeping it supplied with crucial water. Water flows from the spring to the pool day and night, even during the dry season. So when we come up to Jesus' time, during the festival or the Feast of Tabernacles, women carrying palm branches gathered at the pool. The priest would take a basin and gather water from the pool and lead the women in a procession up a valley that had markets on both sides. The water was then poured on an altar, and the women and children marched around the altar. On the seventh day, the last day of the feast, the great day, the same process took place, only this time the women and children marched around the altar seven times as a sign of completeness. The ceremony is called the Living Water Ceremony, reminding the people that God helped our ancestors in a dry and thirsty land. This is the setting of our scripture. This is the setting of the scripture lesson. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. In biblical language, there is a huge distinction between living water and other water sources. Living water is flowing water. Living water is freely available water. It is a gift of nature. It is a gift of God. The well or the cistern first has to be dug. And then when the well or the cistern has been dug, then water has to be drawn out or pulled out. very labor intensive. Living water is a gift. Wells and cisterns require work, and depending on the depth of the well, sometimes a lot of work. You'll recall that Jesus' discussion with the woman at the well outside the city of Samaria. Jesus told her there was a source of living water. Before realizing or understanding that Jesus was speaking of himself, she says, "Show me where this source is so I don't have to drag this water out of the well anymore. Show me where this living water is," because she was thinking of well water versus free flowing water. In our scripture lesson, John explains Jesus' statement by saying, "By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified." I have to confess that I have to be reminded of the living water, the Holy Spirit, available to all Christians when confronted with the challenges and difficulties of life. My first inclination is to go to the well, only in my case, the well is not the well one thinks of from the song, "Fill My Cup." A major part of how I was raised, I believe, has served me well. Though I cannot claim to do this 100% of the time, most of the time I do not spin my wheels lamenting what I think should be. I deal with what is. I was taught to be self-reliant, to not ask for help, to take care of myself. Quite honestly, I think this has served me well. And our nation would be better off if more people thought and acted in that mindset. But there is a downside. If I am not careful, I carry that over into my relationship with God. It's up to me to keep my spiritual life intact. It's up to me to stay on top of my emotions. Though I pray constantly, there is a temptation to focus on what I need to do as opposed to waiting on God to move or to guide. The struggle, as I experience it, is this. We do bear a responsibility in our relationship with God. It is a two-way relationship, after all. We do bear a responsibility to act upon the knowledge and opportunities God sets before us. We do bear a responsibility, as I've heard it put before, to put legs on our prayers. But when we feel it is all up to us, that we have to pull the strength, we have to pull the wisdom, we have to pull all of the necessary things to deal with life out of the well, too often the well that we go to is us, myself. In our attempt to pull out of ourselves the spiritual strength and wisdom and to deal with life, we stress ourselves out trying to push through, and we miss the help that is already there. Have you seen persons who, regardless of what life throws at them, they exhibit a peace and calm beyond explanation? It is not that they don't feel emotions. It is not stoic. The stoic does not allow themselves to experience the fullness of emotion. It is almost a sense of detachment. The person I'm thinking of experiences life in its joys and in its sorrows. But in the sorrows, they're able to virtually glow with an assurance, a peace, a calm, that most people cannot comprehend. Jesus proclaimed, "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within them." Remember the functions of the Holy Spirit described in the Paraclete from a couple of weeks ago? It is basically all of the ways in which Jesus related to his disciples on earth, the Holy Spirit now relates with and resides in the believer. In today's passage, Jesus declares that streams of living water will flow from within us. That living water is the constant, abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. In short, the Christian can live in peace and calm when all the world around us is in chaos. The Christian can possess wisdom when everybody sounds right or everybody sounds wrong. The Christian lives in hope and assurance when all of the world is in panic. The streams of living water, the gift of the Holy Spirit, resides in all who truly believe in Jesus Christ. Through the living water, the presence of the Holy Spirit, the presence of Jesus, we receive the gift of the never-ending, always available strength, wisdom, calm, peace, hope, and assurance that the world cannot comprehend. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving Lord, the world, our nation, seems to be just at a place of bewilderment right now. And gracious Lord, even if the present COVID situation doesn't appear to be affecting us directly, life still goes on. We still experience struggles, health issues, grief, relational issues. And gracious Lord, so many times we try to dig that out of the well that we feel we should dig and pull out of ourselves. And we get stressed and we get tired. And spiritually, we become drained. But gracious Lord, thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit that is bestowed upon all who believe in you, all who trust in you. And Lord, you promised that that stream of living water, the presence of that Holy Spirit, would always be within us and flow through and out of us. And so Lord, we do want to be responsible, but we depend on your grace and your strength. Help us to slow down in spirit and mind and allow your spirit, your living water, to flow through us. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
At the well I was seeking for things that could not satisfy, but then I heard my Savior speaking, "Draw from my well that never shall run dry. My cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord,
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of His Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forever. Amen.